Okay, good morning, Commissioners. Oliver Ojaka, Community Planning Director, and with me this morning are my staff, Jose Alvarez and Laurie Laburski, and then we have Public Works staff, which can introduce themselves, Heath and Caroline. And Commissioners, this is the 2014 plan amendment and zone changes, which is required by both Growth Management Act and our code. It is the plan amendment whereby individual property owners apply for plan amendment and site-specific request to amend our plan and our zone change, and also to add some docket items which will come to the commissioners once every year and identify how many we received. And then at the direction of the commissioners, we get approval on which ones to proceed with. As you know, the dockets are done free, so at no charge to the property owners. The county takes that as an initiated action and pay the cost for processing those applications. As part of the 2014, plan amendment and docket, we also do receive requests for Arturo Atlas amendment. The Arturo Atlas, as the board is aware, is a tool that we use also to implement the land use comprehensive plan, identifying where future roads needs to be built, both for to enhance mobility, both for safety and also for connectivity. So those are the principles of how the Arturo Atlas, we use the Arturo Atlas, and as a tool, again, we use it to identify where future roads needs to be built, go out and acquire the right of ways. In some cases, right of ways are identified either through short plat or subdivision, and those are also placed on the face of the plat so that people who in the future develop or buy properties know what is on the face of the plat. So today, Jose and Laurie are going to go over the applications that we received for this year. We already have gone through the Planning Commission, so they've seen this through public hearing process and have made their recommendations to the board. So we want to bring you up to speed as to their recommendations, and we have a date set for your own hearing, which have already been advertised. I believe it's November 18th. So I'll turn it over to Jose, and after Jose, we'll have Laurie discuss the Arturo Atlas that is part of this year's applications. And then we will take questions. We have Caroline and Heath that will help us to answer your questions that you may have on one of the Arturo Atlas amendments. So, Jose.
Okay. Thank you, Oliver. Good morning, Commissioners. Like Oliver said, we have three items this year. They're all county-initiated. The first is an amendment from the comprehensive plan from Rural 5 to Rural Commercial. One's a capital facilities amendment, and the last is the Arturo Atlas amendment that Laurie will talk about. There's one site-specific item. And essentially that would affect 20 acres, and this is at Northeast 10th Avenue and Northeast 219th. Last year we had a similar proposal for about 15 acres. It came before you at the hearing. The property owners wanted to be included. We didn't have enough public notice at that time, so we rolled it over to this year, and we're coming forward with that recommendation. The Planning Commission heard that item and recommended approval by a 4-1 vote, contingent on coordination with the cities of Battleground and Ridgefield. We have had a couple of meetings with the city's representatives. You have a letter from Brian Wolf, who's the attorney for the city of Battleground. Essentially, they would like for us to do some additional planning going forward for that area. They're a little concerned about sort of incremental changes in that area to commercial. They're not necessarily opposed to this specific development, but they would like to have something in place going forward, knowing that sewer is running down 10th, and the pressure to develop that is going to be strong. And so they would like to have some planning and coordination in place before that happens. We are going to try to meet. We have a coordination meeting with the cities on Friday. Mr. Hornstein represents one of the property owners. We're going to try to have a meeting before our hearing on Tuesday to try to come up with some language to address their concerns.
I don't think the neighborhood knew about it. So where are we with this?
We sent out notice to all of the property owners in that area to that subdivision. We haven't heard anything from them. There was nothing, I don't think there was any testimony given at the Planning Commission about that. I know I spoke with a lady last year who's kind of abutting that and let her know when the development occurs, what sort of landscaping and screening would be required of the development to sort of protect, that act as a buffer between that development and the existing property owners. But to date, we haven't had anything. I posted signs again last week for the upcoming hearing, but haven't heard anything from that subdivision.
Areas and all of
right.
Back,
it's not.
All of always had businesses there. Why it wasn't, I don't understand why.
Commissioner, we do. As you recall, there are some areas that is recognized as a rural commercial outside a rural center. So this Duluth is one, and Duluth is also one area that the task force that looked at what additional areas qualified under the GMA criteria for designating rural center. We are still going to be looking at some other areas, Duluth being one, but in addition to Duluth, there are some areas that are not officially designated as a rural center, but we do recognize that they have existing rural establishment, if you commercial establishment. Areas in Duluth, particularly at the intersection of 10th and 219th, is existing commercial outside of a rural center. That's how it is designated and identified now. But it is an area that we'll take a look at. If you qualified, the state statute says it has to have extensive commercial development and a character, whether it's a church or a hardware store or anything that will make it look like a village, if you will, prior to 1990 when the act, that's what the statute says. So the ones that the Rural Task Force looked at and identified were the seven rural centers that we currently have. Brushberry, Meadow Glade, Hawkinson, Dollars Corner, Foggy Lake, and I think I may be missing one or two.
Okay. Amboy.
So those were the, and Shilashi Perry were the identified rural centers. There are other pockets or other intersections, if you will, that are recognized with existing commercial establishment but outside of a rural center. Mm-hmm. We would continue to look at Duluth, and if it qualifies, we will work and designate it as a rural center.
Okay.
I'm thinking, Oliver, if we do that now, at the same time, we've had several people want to open up little shops of some sort along there. I remember a bass shop that got turned away, and we've had other places got turned away, and yet we still have spots farther south than that that are some type of commercial. And yet we also have to remember that that's part of our Discovery Corridor.
Yes.
So, my other concern is that when we did the part to the south of what we're considering today, that the battleground was a little miffed at us, to say the least, because we're supposed to keep them in our conversations, and we appreciate their conversations, but it's something that needs to be recognized as part of the Discovery Corridor. We do keep them informed, but it's something that I don't expect the battleground to be out there or Ridgefield to be out there for maybe another 20 or 30 years. So,
you're correct, Commissioner, and that's the type of dialogue and land use planning that we will do. Whether we designate it as a rural center is something that we can consider at the direction of the board. Revisit what does the statute say, and does the LUT qualify as a rural center? We will certainly take a look at that.
Oh, and on top of that, we're having a big, huge Department of Transportation shop being built there, so it'll be something we probably want to do in the near future, if not now.
That's correct.
If I look at their overall strategy is to make jobs a top priority for the county, moving this from residential to commercial does exactly that. It's consistent with that strategy. If I understand it correctly also, the landowners, all of the landowners involved, want this. They're asking for this. None of the neighbors are complaining for it. The Planning Commission recommends it. The infrastructure, major infrastructure improvements that are being invested on 10th Avenue to upgrade that business corridor and the sewer line that goes right there, all of these things line up to make this make sense. In order for this somehow, and I understand competition it may present to other cities, shop there instead of shopping here. I understand that. But hopefully we'll keep in mind that we don't want to prevent people from creating jobs and businesses from creating jobs elsewhere because it's not in our turf. We all want to be able to move our community forward in a way that is consistent with self-sufficiency, for the people to actually be able to work here and not have to commute over the bridge to work in Portland. So it would take a strong objection and a real compelling reason that has not been voiced at this point for us to override all that and say, no, we're not going to do it.
That's true, Commissioners, and Steve Horenstein is here, and I think the issues that the two jurisdictions are raising are one that because we entered into an interlocal agreement with them, and that's what they're really citing, that we do more coordination with them in terms of the future development of that interchange. You're right that the infrastructure investment have already been made and sewer is coming down 10th. Those are all legitimate reasons, and I think that what the city is requesting, we may be able to have additional dialogue with them. The uses that are allowed in the rural commercial, the type of rural commercial that is being proposed, is very, very limited. I agree with you, Commissioner. Their concern is both competition and also to make sure that we realize the investment that I've already made in terms of infrastructure, and we put the type of land use, the Commissioner Mielke mentioned the Discovery Corridor, that we put the type of land use in place that take advantage of that investment. I think that's what some of the concern that cities are raising, even though they didn't come out and say it. I think it will be a win-win for everyone, I suppose, when we look at the land use. And you have jurisdiction over land use in this case. The cities are just voicing their concern that we coordinate and designate that area so that it develop in such a way that takes advantage of the significant infrastructure investment that have already been made.
Mr. Chairman, somewhat I agree with David, but I've had some of the residential people out in that area, and including some people that sat on the Richfield City Council, were concerned that what's going to happen is going to degrade the housing neighborhood that's already there by putting a commercial complex there and a whole lot of extra traffic that's going to be running in and out through their neighborhoods. And that, and they're quite concerned, just like Tom would be, or David would be, or I would be, if somebody wanted to build a commercial facility in Bonnet Gardens or wherever else it is that is in conflict. And again, I'm going to go back to my argument: is when does a neighborhood become a neighborhood, or when does it become everything thrown all in one big lump sum when people have invested in their homes and expect to live there and have a nice quiet community for as long as they live there, to end up being surrounded by commercial facilities that that create a lot of traffic and through their neighborhoods where the kids have been able to play and run and play soccer in the streets or whatever. And so there's a lot of those neighborhood people that live out there concerned, and they say that there's a lot of other commercial property already in the area that they could do the same thing on without converting a residential property to commercial.
I think the question is if the parcel is large enough. And that area right there, by the way, is a gated community.
Yeah.
There's no through traffic or effect there at all.
But they'll, as soon as that's going to develop more, just because you got one gated community there, they're concerned that it's going to obstruct
everything
residential,
else.
Everything else.
Everything else there to the west is inaccessible as part of the ramp for I-5. And you have DOT over there also, so... And I think what's been proposed there is kind of a good neighbor that to have as far as a commercial. My zone commercial would be a low impact.
Okay. Next item is Cap Facilities Plan. The Clark Regional Wastewater District is proposing an amendment to just update the Cap Facilities Plan to reflect that they're going to be the sewer provider in the city of Richfield, and the Planning Commission voted 5-0 to recommend approval of that. The next item is the proposed arterial atlas amendment, Fifth Plain Creek, and I'll let Lori discuss that with you.
Thank you. Morning, Commissioners. The final item is Fifth Plain Creek. I want to remind you, it's a follow-up to last year's lifting of urban holding in the Fifth Plain Creek area. This is part two. Because this area is now in the urban growth boundary, the roads need to be converted from a rural to an urban road. Bottom line is, when you have urban development, you need to have the infrastructure to support that development. I want to, first of all, indicate that we are not proposing new roads. And we're not, at this point, proposing any construction. The idea is that when development occurs, that we have the standards in place to require the improvements to support the development. And the three roads in question are 88th Street from Ward Road to 182nd Avenue. When we bring the rural roads into urban growth boundary, we have a standard where we convert it to the road that most closely approximates what is existing. So in the case of 88th Street, it's going from a two-lane rural collector to a C2CB, which that means two lanes, center turn lane and bike lane. There'll be sidewalk. Northeast 182nd Avenue from 88th to 4th Plain, also a C2CB, which we have that up there on the map. And then finally, we have Northeast 83rd Street. And I want to point out that it's the existing road from the urban growth boundary going westward, the extension, and then the idea is that it meets up with the existing 78th Street. the proposal is to make it. Actually, Planning Commission voted 6-0 in support of converting the roads. The only change they made was the recommendation that 83rd Street be a C2B instead of a two-lane collector. What that means is that no parking would be allowed on that road. There would be bike lane instead. I want to point out that we had an independent consultant study the extension of 83rd Street, and what the study shows is it supports 83rd Street, what we designated it as a local, as a collector to collect the local traffic and distribute it to the arterial streets. I want to also bring up our maps online because what I want to show you, first of all, is the right-of-way in this area. First of all, 83rd Street, when Monet's Garden was going through the application process, the hearings officer required that the right-of-way be dedicated for the future 83rd Street. And we have a plat map, and you all will have it in your hearing packet. It was recorded on the plat map that the right-of-way be dedicated. And what this shows is that the right-of-way exists for that future extension. Also, want to show down here, you can see that there's a house right there. It's pretty well known. That's Ryan Hurley's house. Let's see. So, anyway, those are the issues before you for this arterial atlas amendment. Again, bottom line is that we need the roads to be to urban standards so that when development does occur, that people, that staff and development engineering can require the improvements.
And so, and the consideration today is not just 83rd and 182nd.
Correct.
It's also 83rd to include going curving down to line up with 77th.
78th Street.
We've had
And Commissioner, I want to emphasize this is that road is on the arterial atlas right now.
Yes. We've had a lot of concern lately from Monet Garden with the design and construction being considered. And I'm not prepared to make all those changes today. I don't know how the other board is. I think that even 88th Street, we're talking about a different type of design or construction as to how many residents we're going to affect with the widening of it. And the 88th extension down through there, there's a lot of concern there too, and I'm not quite sure if we vented all that. So myself, I would like to adopt a part of it but not all of it, if that's possible. I don't know how my fellow commissioners feel or where they are on the issue. Commissioner Barnes, you don't have a problem with it?
No, I do. I'd like to be able to share several things on this. One is the what's shown in red there, the 88th Street on the north side of Monet's Garden and the 182nd Avenue on the east side. The consistency and really to comply with the requirements for our policy would be to increase that right away from 60 feet to 70 feet to be consistent with that new road designation, right? But in order for that to happen, because it would, if we just simply follow the rules the way they are without changing the constraints, we would naturally consume the lots that are already developed in Monet's Garden. And the correction for that, or the condition for that, would be to accept that change, but require that the extra right-of-way come from the undeveloped property on the north side and on the east side of those streets.
Commissioner, as far as 88th Street, the way that that road would be widened would be through private development. So the property north of 88th Street, that's outside the urban growth boundary.
Yes, and so we would adjust the center line of the road and the urban growth boundary with that fine tune in order to accommodate that.
88th Street, all of 88th Street is in the urban growth boundary. It's the property north of 88th
yes.
Street that's outside.
So I understand.
The type of development that where you would require that kind of widening would most likely not occur.
What we're really talking about is the fine tune of that urban growth boundary line from the center line of the road. We would move the center line of the road, 10 feet to the north and to the east, so that we would be consistent. In other words, the misfit of or the negative impact that this has on Monet's Garden, this would solve that problem. So yes, we want to upgrade the road according to our standards, but we need to be able to somehow make the adjustment. If it be legal, Heath, you can tell us whether or not that would be legal to move that line in order to accommodate that, preserve those properties.
Well, typically when we bring roads into the urban growth boundary, in the case of 88th Street, the urban growth boundary line is already...
Sure. I understand
already.
The typical.
Right.
Problem that this is not typical. This is an exception. So I want to make sure that the system works for us. We don't work for the system. If there's a fine tune necessary to make this work much better for the developments
right.
that are out there, that this is that we take that exception and adjust it.
Right. So you're asking right now if it's a 70-foot right-of-way, we get 35 a half-width right-of-way from each side. Monet's Garden's developed, and they've dedicated 30 feet. Instead of getting an additional 5 feet from Monet's Garden, you want to see if we can get 40 from the other side.
We don't take any more property from Monet's Garden. That's right.
I knew we would get Heath.
We can do this.
We do as part of it. We typically don't unnecessarily, technically move the center line of the road, but we can shift when you go to construction. You would shift the roadway such that where we can and when we can, we try to avoid impacts like that, where it makes sense. So in this case, you're likely only talking about 5 feet. We might even be able to make an adjustment when it comes through. And given that Monet's Garden is improved, in this situation, it may end up being a capital project, which would ultimately improve the road. And we may be able to make an adjustment in the actual standard going through there to avoid any significant impacts.
That sounds good. In other words, we have the freedom. It's not really a necessarily changing the urban growth boundary. It has to do with just simply saying which side of that right-of-way is going to move. So the idea here, I'm good with approving it, as long as the condition is that it does not negatively impact or encroach, take any property from the already developed lots there in Monet's Garden.
South
and east. In other words, you move the line north, you move the line east.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if we can, this is a planning piece, I don't know if we can actually do that in this process, but it would be a later process through the construction part.
But it would really come with a condition at this point, because what I don't want to do is just say, well, we changed it, and we just assume that it's going to not impact an already a really nice neighborhood. So I would say there's got to be a way that we can tie a condition to this that says when that does get developed in the future, we will not impact that neighborhood.
So Carolyn Hennigas, Transportation Division, Public Works. What happens typically when the rural zoning is changed to urban and it does come in to develop? We would ask them to dedicate 35 feet, not 40, typically. And so, but they also don't have the right to condemn or force an owner on the opposite side of the road to give the additional 5 feet.
Sure.
So I'm going to guess that they may go through a road mod process, do what they can to avoid existing conflicts. Yeah. I think that's all a normal process for them without having to make it something special. And so, but I'm not sure we can require 40 on the north side.
Right.
And that, I think that's maybe a question we'd have to talk to legal about. But I know you can get the 35.
Yes.
Well, that was, Mr. Chairman, that was one of the questions I asked the owners, the landowners from Menai Garden when they come in and talked to me, and I think they talked to the other two commissioners too, was the fact that anybody talked to the people to the north or to the east to see if they were willing to allow that widening to go there since it's on basically open land. And so what they told me was that they had not made contact with any of those owners yet, so I didn't know whether the county had talked to anybody in the process of trying to do it, but I would assume that that would be the smartest move to do, would be to see if those people to the north and to the east would be willing to part with part of their land. I know you don't get it for free. You got to buy it off of them, just like you would have to buy off the land inside in Menai Gardens. But, you know, at some point in time, you have to have transportation infrastructure that feeds the community in a proper way. And you can't always move everything around in order to accommodate everybody, make everybody happy.
Well, it really comes down to a legal question. My approval of this would be non-negotiably requiring that the Menai's Garden would not be negatively impacted, that this would not creep into their neighborhood. I certainly support the idea of upgrading the roads, but somehow it's got to tie to that condition. Otherwise, I feel like we are doing more harm than good.
So you'd have to basically do away with the bike path of the center lane?
No, it just means that you put it where it fits, on the north and on the east.
I think my guess is we'd have to talk to legal about that.
Yeah.
I know you can do the 35, and road mods are not automatically approved through this kind of process. So I think we need to probably research that and get back to you about what can or can't be conditioned on that approval.
When we put something in the urban boundary, it takes on both sides of the road.
Yes.
And so that is the urban growth boundary. So the only difference would be the zoning. So if I go right north, if I go on the north side, that's in there. Those lots are in the...
Commissioner, the lots north of 88th Street are in the outside the UGB, and you are correct. 88th Street, all of the right-of-way is within the urban growth boundary. You both would know better than me, but as far as Menai's Garden, that's the conditions in which you would have 88th Street be widened would be either through private development, and Menai's Garden is already developed. North of 88th Street is outside the urban growth boundary. You're not going to have the kind of development that would trigger the requirement for the widening of the road.
Oh, well, the other photograph I saw showed no less than 10 houses on the south side, and that means you'd have to deal with all 10 people and purchase from all 10 people,
right,
where it makes more sense if you go across the road and you deal with one or two,
right,
it would cost a lot less.
Right. I'm just saying that in the short term, you're not going to see the kind of development that would trigger the requirement for widening 88th Street along the frontage of Menai's Garden.
Which is fine. It really has to do with setting up the whole area for the best fit in the long run. Yes, sir.
We are simply amending an arterial atlas here today showing future requirements. I've heard twice now from Lori that north of the urban growth boundary there, and we're not proposing to change the county's urban growth boundary in this plan update.
Right.
So the land north of there won't develop for the foreseeable future, which will delay any requirement for road improvements, who knows, a decade, 15, 20 years out. And the board would have a number of junctures where they could put requirements on staff to do exactly what you would like to see, which would be to move the right-of-way to the north, 40 feet instead of 35. So you're not committing to building a road with a center line that would take from Menai's Garden today.
I understand that. But I also wanted, what I don't want to do is open the door and somehow set them up with a to have to go through some legal process at their expense to somehow defend their neighborhood against that encroachment because somehow we left the door open today. So that's one concern. I would like people to hear from legal staff to know what can be done legally in order to protect that neighborhood and upgrade this road. If they can't be done together, then I cannot in good conscience approve this.
Okay, commissioners, we will check in with legal staff. I think both Caroline and Heath have indicated that, and Mark too, that often what we require is 35 feet. Now, there is no development in front of us, so we wouldn't really be making that as a condition of approval until we see an actual development or bringing this area into the urban growth boundary. But I'm not sure how we amend the arterial atlas and make this as a condition of approval. We'll check in with Chris Horn and see what they can recommend. Maybe they will get back to the commissioners before your hearing on the 18th.
So, the alternative, do we have the option of bringing the other items forward and not this one here? We address this one later?
Just to add, and I don't know the legal answer to your question, just looking at it from a practical standpoint, long time down the road, there's 70 feet, I don't know if you've seen this, but it's the roadway cross section. So on one side, the pavement itself is only 46 feet. So from a practical consideration, when we build, if it was a capital project or even if it was a development project that came through this area, in this case where we already have 30 feet that's been dedicated, it appears based on the cross section we would have room to accommodate that extra 5 feet, meaning that it wouldn't make a lot of sense for us to go acquire that.
Yes.
So from a practical standpoint, it's unlikely that it would happen anyway. I understand your question about just not setting it up for it in the future, but you know, with limited funds and having to a good stretch of road in this area, we just wouldn't go there. We'd work with what we already have, which is 30 feet.
And that documentation going forward, that condition somehow needs to be provided so that if they get to the point where, okay, it's time to actually improve the road, at that point, they don't forget this conversation, and they just say, that's the way the laws work, and that's the way the code works, and so therefore we're going to do it. Tough luck. I want to make sure that that something's tied to this, so that if they go back and say, oh yeah, look at this note here. This is what they were thinking, this is what they intended, this is the best outcome, and we should pay attention to that. So whatever we can do, there must be some way.
Yeah, if we could put that in place, I think we could do the whole thing on the 18th.
Great.
That's just for 88th Street?
That's both the red line, both the north and that's 88th Street and 182nd Avenue.
Okay.
So go east on 182nd Avenue, go north on 88th Street.
We still have issues with 77th to 83rd?
Yes, I want to get to that too.
Okay.
I understand that when Monet's Garden was created, that was all this dotted green line there, that curb street was already dedicated. It's already on the plan to improve it. However, I would like to be able to take that off the atlas. The neighbors are willing to buy that property back from the county, and it would be, again, it would be a negative impact to the neighbors. There are other issues that are affecting that decision as well, and that is that 83rd Street is a 50-mile-an-hour road, and there have been a number of accidents of people missing the 182nd Avenue intersection and just plowing into the houses there. This would continue on the road and potentially make that safety, that hazard, worse. Right now, there's not even a, there is a kind of one of those unimproved, you can curve, you can make the turn without having a stop sign there. I expect in time there'll be a real stop sign rather than some yields that are there. But the safety issues and the negative impact to that neighborhood, if we do anything on these other two roads, I would assume we would link that and say that one comes off. What's marked as a...
Ask a question.
Yeah, C-2B.
In the future, you would probably, and I don't know how you're looking how many years, but you would also have to look at how the impact of either not doing something or doing something is going to affect everybody to the east that want to develop their land in the future and how they get to and from where they need to go. If you look at, go back, move your map back to where the 88th Street continues to go forward. See, there's a whole lot of land, a whole lot of people out there that probably in the future would like to develop their property too. So you need to look and see how that's going to affect everybody in that area too, David.
I agree, and there is a problem with our code the way it's written now, and that somehow it's blind to the natural geographic barriers that are there, and that is the I think, can you hover your mouse right at the end there? That would require a very expensive bridge, $1 million plus, I don't know, dollars to get across that natural wetland area. And it also conflicts with our overall policy. Don't impact wetlands any more than you need to. So somehow we can't have these silos that say we're going to plow through it anyway, when the protection of our critical environments are a high priority.
Commissioners, you're right, and I will let David Jardine or Caroline chime in. I think that the proposal and the consultant that we hired to look at this area looked at 83rd coming down and lining up with 78. And taking 78 across just straight, and indicated that it will be much, much cheaper to do the crossing at Way 83rd, just as you see here, than running 78 straight. It will be more expensive to do the bridge down there if that's what happens in the future. We do need east-west circulation for this area as this area developed. And this was well thought out and identified that the least impacted area is where you see the yellow dot, the yellow solid line. I think one of the concerns that we have, and maybe what the board, what we may address in the future, is that either way, the cost of building the bridge is not on our CFP. That, to me, is the more important discussion for us to have. Whether you take this off and say it should go across, you still have to be able to say, does the county pay for the cost of crossing the creek? And at what point do we put it in our CFP and start collecting the necessary fees to get that built? I think that's the major issue, but Jardine and our public works staff can chime in on the relative cost of crossing the creek as proposed than taking it maybe just running 78 straight. I don't know, we haven't really cost that out, but my understanding is that it will be more expensive to take 78 just shoot it straight, but you will then create another T street on 182nd and whatever that comes out, and then you will have another T street on 83rd, and as you go further south, I don't know how close it is to 182nd and 500, which is a very difficult intersection now. So I'm not a traffic engineer, but they will be the one addressing those issues.
Yeah.
So wherever you move the line, You move it south, we are creating another conflict. It's going to run through someone's property. I think the property to, if you move the cursor up, that's owned by Hinton. Those two properties here. So I'm not sure what his issues are going to be when they propose to develop that property. So if we're showing that the road is now going to come to the south, they may also object. But it's going to be your call, and I'll let our transportation folks chime in.
One of the things that I received a letter and a communication from a couple that moved up here from California, and I think I sent it on to you too, that they bought one of the lots in Manet Gardens, and they bought it during the summertime when there was no flooding water problem, and I talked to Tom about it a little bit. The first winter, their property, after they built their house, almost flooded out, so they had to give up a portion of their land, and their neighbor had to give up a portion of their land in order to put a big drainage ditch through there in order to keep their houses from getting flooded out. So there is a water problem there, so at some point in time, it'll have to be taken care of, because I don't think that we should be allowing people to, and people say buyer beware, but I know that there's a whole lot of flooding problem in that area, and Tom is aware of it too, but we need to make sure that if there's a chance to correct that problem, so that when people buy property there, that they don't end up losing their house or flooding their property out. So I think we need to, there's a whole lot of issues that we need to be looking at before we just say no to whatever the Planning Commission has agreed to.
Well, that being said, you're saying move forward on one hand, but don't do it on the other.
Right, I'm saying that, Tom. I know that.
So I think that we have some deep discussions. Do we have to move this forward? Can we bring this back at a work session and work on this? I think if there's more than one issue here. I understand that the developers were not able to attend today, so I would recommend another work session dealing with just the road portion.
Okay, we can pull this and have additional conversation with the board and potentially the future developers, in this case Hinton and other property owners to the south. The only issue, and the board can make that call, is that you did postpone plan amendment and zone change so that we can focus on the growth plan. But you also make an exception that in case of emergency or other policy questions, we can consider issues. So if the board pulled this, we will this will come back at a later time, maybe sometime next year, because we will not be able to hopefully resolve what the issues may be before the end of the year.
I was suggesting another work session, or we could do one-on-ones with Hinton and I can't think of the other.
Brian Hurley. Brian Hurley's one of the property owners.
Yes. So he is a representative. I'm trying to think of his name.
And Randy
I'm
Prince.
Not sure if it's Randy Prince.
Prince. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd like to come back to the table, either one-on-one with them to get a bigger picture. I know that what we're trying to put this arterial atlas in our map, and I think we may have time to do that. We can still address it.
I agree. It's not a question of putting this off sometime to next year. It really has to do with making sure that the next step in the sequence hears from the affected property owners.
Now, I think this could be on calendar for construction next year. Is that what I heard?
No.
This section?
Yeah.
No, it is
88?
This.
88?
The bridge.
And that's important because we know we have to replace the whole bridge now. So if we're able to move it additional 5 feet or whatever, that the realignment of that bridge. So I'm thinking we could solve any problems we have in a short time.
How soon we can do this?
Will that work out?
I think so. Because one thing, I mean, as far as the time, if it works for planning, as far as the timing goes, but I think, you know, with respect to 88th Street, one thing we could look at there, maybe to address the concern about legally needing to require that extra 5 feet, is we could look at a different cross section. You know, it's what's recommended is a C2 CB, which is a 70-foot. There's also another section that's also a collector that is only 60 feet. The difference is that there's no center turn lane.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe that works in this area, given the size of the development, and if we're careful about where we put cross-circulation roads. It may also help us with the bridge, too, because we do have an issue with the bridge and the new classification. You know, and with respect to 83rd Street, again, that particular, the cross circulation is definitely needed in this area, and, you know, it was with this, that plat was done in 96, so there was quite a bit of forethought on where that road was going to go. And really what our hope is to preserve that cross circulation in this area, and at the lowest cost possible. And again, it's not something that we have on our radar to improve anytime soon.
One of the things I noticed when I was looking at it, it also, if you continue east, it goes along the southern edge of that urban growth boundary.
Yep.
So it wouldn't necessarily come to another T. It might be an intersection with a stop sign for 77th, and then diagonally go back up and connect back in 83rd later, maybe. I'm just throwing things out there for ideas.
Commissioner, what we will do is try to see if we can have a meeting, whether it's one-on-one or additional work session. What I'm hearing is that you would like to see that happen this year.
Soon, yes.
Soon.
Well, I would say soon. So at this point, the participants, each of the landowners, and all that would be affected, both on both sides of those roads and the proposed alternative road, it would be really good to hear from them so that they, and with Randy Prince, to, because he's the one that was masterminded this whole fifth lane plan. That would be very valuable for us, because then it would help. I expect that they've specialized in this area, they are the most affected, and we're here to serve them.
Commissioner, while you were out, Heath mentioned that there may be an alternative cross-section that we could consider that would shrink the width of the right-of-way required.
Great.
That would eliminate a center turn lane.
Looking for solutions. That sounds
good.
So
what we'll do is we'll huddle and come up with a strategy and try to get this back before you during the hearing in an acceptable way.
I would say when we do bring this...
Bicycle lane in, you can still leave the bicycle lane in if you... Get away with the center lane.
If I got to sacrifice something, you know where it's going to be. It's not going to be sidewalks.
Actually, yeah, if we went with what's called a C2B, there is still bike lanes and sidewalks in each direction,
right.
Two travel lanes. The only difference is no center turn lane, which may be reasonable out here given the few access points.
When we finally do get to the point where we have a public hearing on this, many of the neighbors have requested that to be an evening hearing so they could be here rather than during the day. I assume there will be another work session ahead of that. Budget.
We've already scheduled the hearing for November 18th, which is 10
next
o'clock
Tuesday.
A.m.
Well, then we should reschedule it so that they can participate, because a lot of these neighbors are working during the day. They would find it so much more convenient to have an evening hearing.
Well, we just have to cancel.
Yes, work session.
Well,
first.
Yeah, I'd
first
like
time.
To have a work session before we bring it to a hearing. And I'm not sure if we can accommodate an evening hearing. I think if we address their issues, of all of them, and then work out the best way possible, there won't be no need for that evening hearing. So that's what I'm hoping.
Well, there'll be two steps. One is we have, I guess the first Tuesday in December is already an evening hearing. So if we were to have a work session ahead of that to nail this down and then put this part in that already scheduled evening hearing, then we get the best of everything.
Well, pretty fast.
Well, we have the hearing scheduled for next Tuesday.
Yes,
and it's going to be the right. Will be the fourth hearing of the day for you. We can continue this portion of the hearing to a date certain,
yes,
which would be December 2nd, or with the first one, the first Tuesday in December.
Sure.
And that'll address it that way.
Yeah.
And that'll give us time to...
You can approve the first two items, continue on the third.
Yes.
Absolutely. I don't want to turn my hearing into a work session. So
sure.
We need to resolve it before it comes back, and maybe December 2nd would be too soon.
Well, it depends. If there are a limited number of lot owners that would be affected on the perimeter here, and if we can get in contact with them and schedule another work session, maybe a week or two or three from now, ahead of that.
That's possible, mm-hmm. But I think we take one step at a time. We're not committed, and we're not going to be rushing or pushed into it.
I agree.
And we address the issues. I think that might be the best way. Commissioner Barnes?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if in talking to the neighbors out there, like the ones that come in and talk to us, if they're happy with doing away with the center turn lane in order to peaceify or satisfy everybody, in order to make the problem work for everybody, including transportation, I think you need to make sure that they, when you ask that question of them, and if they say we're happy with that, then at some point in time, whether happy or unhappy, somebody's going to have to make the hard decision one way or the other.
It's important to remember that taking this away from the holding,
yep,
it had to do with putting the infrastructure in place. So that
right.
Crossroad is very important.
Right. Yep.
And so you have to decide where to do that. And I'm not sure, did you say that instead of on 88, that could go to something that wouldn't require a left turn lane?
Well,
go ahead.
Heath had mentioned that we could instead classify 88th Street as a C2B, which means a two-lane collector with bike lanes, no center turn lane.
Would that satisfy our requirements?
That is an urban collector, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So I really want to make sure we address why we're taking that out of holding. And I'm not sure you're the...
The land's already out of urban holding. I guess I'm a little confused what you mean.
Well, we took that out of urban holding on an agreement pack,
right,
if you recall, right? I'm not sure if that designated that being an arterial or if we can make that something smaller and still not affect that agreement with the developer.
I'm not familiar with the agreement, but I think with the roadway now being in the urban area, then it's required that it have an urban classification. And so really all this change is doing is taking it from a rural two-lane collector, basically what it is today, and now we're going to say, okay, in the future this is going to be an urban collector arterial. And the main difference will be is we're going to add bike lanes and sidewalks.
And I probably need corrected on that. I think that agreement with the developer has to do with a long-term agreement with the area owners and developers. Is that right?
Right.
That's right.
Yes, you're right. We'll take a look at that in part of our conversation with the property owners and the developers.
All right.
A very helpful path forward would be to invite the affected parties, especially, well, each of them, mm-hmm, to have direct access to sit down with whoever you designate on staff and not wait for a work session, but have those conversations behind the scenes so that when you finally bring it forward to a work session, all those conversations, you're very informed, and you may possibly that will brainstorming process will arrive at something that everybody's already on the same page. So if you can accommodate that, those meetings, that'd be great. Peter's Silliman's been very involved with this to help facilitate. So he's kind of our guy to go to bat for all of these affected parties as well.
I have a quick question. Now we talked about 88th Street having a C2B designation. What about 182nd Avenue? Are you comfortable with the C2CB or not?
Well, what we're trying to do is to avoid negative impact to Monet's Garden. So I'm looking at both of those streets having the same problem and potentially a similar solution. Whatever that solution is, I'm flexible. The I think when we get this right, it'll be because that brainstorming with all the affected citizens will have yielded obvious answers.
And, you know, looking at the development that's there now, very few houses face 182nd, so you may not need that center turn lane there.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else?
That's all we have, Commissioners.
Okay. Thank you. We'll be in touch with you. We'll work with you to see if we can't keep it moving.
Thank you, Commissioners.